All today.
This is Free Talk Live. It is the Thursday edition, and we kick off hour number one. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. That is the Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free. And so, there you go, freetalklive.com. Those other radio talk shows want to charge you for access to their site, and we give it all away. freetalklive.com. Well, there may be some good news, Mark. You remember the Military Commissions Act was passed about a month and a half ago, and it essentially eviscerated habeas corpus, of course, is the body of evidence, meaning that one of the things it entails is that you as a defendant in a court trial can actually, you know, take a look at the evidence against you. They suspended that for so-called enemy combatants, as well as the people being held down in Guantanamo and anybody else that the federal government has deemed should be operating outside of the normal system of courts in this country, which is what the Military Commissions Act essentially allowed for. Well, I wouldn't get my hopes up too much on this, but I should probably bring in the good news, or what may be good news, from McClatchy newspapers. President Bush's victory in getting the rules he wanted to try suspected terrorists could be diminished. The top Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee signaled this week that he'll join the prominent Democrats in seeking to restore legal rights to hundreds of suspected terrorists confined at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, elsewhere. While the measure to restore the right of habeas corpus has almost no chance of passing before Congress adjourns later this week, the message is clear, and that is that when Democrats take over in early January, the issue could resurface. Please note the words could and may in this article. So, it could not go anywhere, and it's possible that nothing will happen. But nonetheless, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, which Bush signed into law in October, prevents detainees who aren't U.S. citizens from challenging their detentions in civilian courts. And I also might mention it prevents anybody who's been labeled an enemy combatant from challenging their detentions. And I wonder if this particular bill that's looking at reinitiating habeas corpus will also bring it back for so-called enemy combatants, or will they just bring it back for the people who aren't U.S. citizens in places like Guantanamo? So not quite sure to the details of this yet.
Well, I mean, wasn't habeas corpus essentially suspended for anybody that this little group of Bushes, whoever he decides to deem as this panel, decides is an enemy combatant?
That's correct.
So you would have to be an enemy combatant for habeas corpus to be suspended for you.
Right.
So I guess it's suspended for enemy combatants.
It is suspended for enemy combatants. But you see, it's also been suspended for, it prevents detainees who aren't U.S. citizens from challenging their detentions in civilian courts. But that's not all it does. It also does it to U.S. citizens who are deemed enemy combatants. So I'm just wondering what exactly it is they're planning on reversing. I get the feeling it's not going to be everything. But nonetheless, according to Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania, who voted for the legislation despite his opposition to stripping such rights from detainees, on Tuesday reintroduced legislation to restore those rights. A similar measure, sponsored by Specter, failed by 3 votes in October. In a speech on the Senate floor, Specter said he was reintroducing the issue to prevent federal courts from striking down the legislation, which some of the detainees' attorneys have challenged. But some lawmakers privately speculated that Specter might have decided to reintroduce the legislation after a recent article in the New Yorker magazine suggested his desire to retain his powerful committee chairmanship led him to go along with the administration's wishes. He repeated on Tuesday his contention that the act violates the Constitution. Quote, "The Constitution of the United States is explicit that habeas corpus may be suspended only in times of rebellion or invasion," said Specter. "We are suffering neither of those alternatives at the present time. We've not been invaded, and there has not been a rebellion. That much is conceded." His co-sponsor, Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, who will become chairman of the Judiciary Committee in January, noted that the effort to secure habeas appeals for all detainees failed by only 3 votes. Quote, "Since then, the American people have spoken against the administration's stay-the-course approach to national security and against a rubber-stamp Congress that accommodated this administration's efforts to grab more power. Abolishing habeas corpus for anyone who the government thinks might have assisted enemies in the United States is unnecessary and morally wrong. It's a betrayal of the most basic values of freedom for which America stands." you know, I don't normally agree with any of these people. Patrick Leahy and whoever the other guy, Arlen Specter. Normally, I can't agree with anything they say, but in this case, it's hard to disagree. In this case, they're at least their talking points are correct. Whether or not they are going to put their money where their mouths are and actually do something about this remains to be seen.
You've said it before, and it's true. Politicians like to find parades and get out in front of them. This parade may be big enough for these politicians to actually walk it all the way in and fix something, or it may be just something they want to get out in front of and lead the band and then, kind of, drop the ball at the end.
Well, Senator Lindsey Graham is against the change. He's served as a military lawyer and a judge who helped craft the detainee legislation, said he'd oppose the move. He said he doubted that even a Democratic-led Senate would go along with it. During the debate, Republicans had sought to portray Democrats who are opposed to lifting such rights as soft on terrorists. Quote, I'm curious to see the five new Democrats would think about giving what the five new Democrats would think about giving terrorists the ability to sue our troops in federal court and having federal district court judges make wartime decisions. I got a feeling a lot of them would agree with me. Well, we're not talking about the terrorists suing the troops. You can't do that. You can't sue the troops. What we're talking about is having trials when you accuse these people of being terrorists.
Yeah, it's just more, it's just meant to muddy the waters.
Right.
He's not saying that for any reason other than to muddy the waters.
Attorneys for some
of course, we don't want the troops sued by the terrorists.
You can't sue the troops. It's just like any other bureaucrat. I mean, they have sovereign immunity. Quote, there's strong support in Congress, and if the issue was significantly understood, there'd be overwhelming support among Americans, said Jonathan Hafitz, who handles detainee cases for the New York University School of Law. Quote, the issue is not whether or not America should detain or try suspected terrorists. The issue is whether we are going to have a lawful and fair process. And indeed, that is the issue. The issue is, in the United States, when you're accused of some sort of a crime, as terrorism is, it's a crime against certain individuals. You know, if you're blowing up a building, you've just threatened the lives or possibly eliminated the lives of a variety of people. That's a murdering sort of crime. You know, if it's something else that it brings damage to property, that's a property crime. These are not, we got plenty of laws on the books to deal with these crimes. And we have courtrooms where evidence is to be presented, defendants are to be tried, and the public is to be allowed in to see it all.
And, you know, it's not like it's unheard of for courts to suppress certain evidence that might be detrimental to national security if it comes into play. So I can't see why we can't give these people public trials. I mean, is the information so valuable? I wonder, I mean, when it comes to Jose Padilla, they're not even charging him with what they originally accused him of. And
because they got nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking the case is. I don't know. He may very well be a dangerous terrorist involved in all kinds of al-Qaeda schemes. But, you know, can't a judge decide that?
Indeed. So that's what we're looking at here. So, you know, again, the issue is getting back to the Constitution, or at least closer, getting closer to the Constitution, because the Military Commissions Act pushed us very far away. Now, again, I'm not sure what exactly it is they're going to be reversing. Habeas corpus, okay, yeah, you want to let habeas corpus back in, but what about the military tribunals? This article doesn't address that. Are we going to have military tribunals with habeas corpus? Are you going to allow the defendants to see the evidence against them, but not actually meet with a defense attorney, not actually go to their trial? I mean, really, how many steps are we going to take back towards freedom? Because the Military Commissions Act took a good 10 steps away from freedom. We're just going to take one step back? I mean, it'd be something, but not much. What do you think the plan is here? Is it going to be a symbolic gesture like a lot of these eminent domain protections, so-called, that we've seen, these eminent domain protection laws that have been passed around the country, which don't really, a lot of them don't do anything for protecting people from eminent domain seizures. They just are symbolism, just something for the politicians to say, look, I protected eminent domain. Here's the bill to prove it. We know you're not going to actually read the bill, so you'll just have to take my word for it.
Yeah, here's the eminent domain bill.
800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. James Kim, the CNET editor, had gone missing for quite a while, and now we know what happened. And it's an amazing story. Coming up, Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, folks. Jack Brownrigg from Midas Resources, the real money folks. Let's review a few things from the past year, November 2003 to November 2004. The Dow has ranged from 9,800 to 10,300, a 5% increase. The dollar's value has dropped from 96 cents to 70 cents against the euro, a 24% decrease in spending power against the gold-backed euro. Gold has gone from the 390s to the 440s, a 16% increase in real money. Precious metals are the safe haven in today's hectic marketplace. To learn how to protect your shrinking dollar, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. Remember, gold is liquid, private, and portable. Call now before your buying power shrinks even more dramatically. That's Midas Resources at 800-686-2237.
Send your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN Eco-Goon squad, when a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods, a time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll-free 800-259-9231. That is 1-800-259-9231, also known as the Packet 8 toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so do enjoy those on us at freetalklive.com. Plus, get registered for the New Hampshire Liberty Forum, February 23rd through the 25th. Meet libertarian superstars like John Stossel, Michael Badnarik, and many more. The most influential libertarians in America will be there. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum for more information to get registered. That's FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. Oh, yeah, and at the FreeTalkLive.com website, you'll find archives galore, an entire year's worth of the show. Front page of the website for your downloading convenience. So enjoy them. FreeTalkLive.com. Let's go to James Kim, or, well, formerly James, well, he's dead.
Yeah.
They found his body. He was missing for a long time. And it's an interesting story that accompanies his death, sad as it is, but maybe something that people can learn from. What happened, Mark?
ABC News. After being stranded in the wilderness for more than a week, three members of a California family are doing remarkably well. Katie Kim, her four-year-old daughter Penelope, and her seven-month-old daughter Sabine should be released from Three Rivers Hospital in Grant Pass, Oregon. But the ordeal isn't over. The search continues. I'm sorry, this is I thought that I had the article where he was found dead. I have the one where he's still lost.
Oops.
I guess, obviously, Mr. Kim was found frozen, looking for a town so that he could go and save his wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess it struck me, because I know that if I was stuck in that car with my wife and kids, that what I would want to do is what he did. I would want to go out and, you know, even if we looked at the map, it seemed like it was only a couple of miles to the next town, mm-hmm. and they thought it was 4 miles. It turned out it was 15.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's 15's a long way to go.
It's a long walk if you have ground beneath you, let alone snow to trudge through.
Right. And I don't know. It sort of taught me a lesson. Just the little article itself is you can't just go running headlong to solve your problems every single time. You know, he wanted to save his family, and I can totally understand that, mm-hmm. and I would have been him. But the smart thing to do in this particular case, what the survivalists say to do, stay put, let the rescuers find you. He probably felt, you know, they had been running the car pretty much nonstop the whole
right.
time. It was freezing, you know. They wanted to keep the heater up and that kind of thing. And, you know, time
was
ticking.
That only lasts so long, yeah.
Yeah, time was ticking. The gas tank might have been full when they started, but there's no guarantee it was.
And it didn't. It ran out.
Yeah, it did finally run out, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would think that the body heat would probably, you know, there's four people in a car. I don't know how big the car was, but mm-hmm. the body heat would probably keep everything okay in there. But it would seem like, it would feel like the clock was ticking. And I just feel really bad for this guy. And
sure.
I feel like I learned a lesson in, you know, not running out and just going headlong trying to solve problems. Sometimes problems will take care of themselves, and you really got to think through it. So.
Yeah, in that case, I mean, you and I, Florida-born, obviously new to this whole snow and cold thing.
Yeah, I'm cold sitting here.
I can't even imagine being out stuck in a snowbank. I'm not sure how exactly did they make a wrong turn, and I don't know what exactly led them to getting stuck, but there have been, since we've gotten up here, I've talked to some of the people up here that there's always some sort of horror story about some kids in a car running off the road and, you know, them being found next spring, just totally icicles, dead. I mean, just very scary kind of stories. And, of course, there's plenty of stories of people that have just run off the road and there was one guy, a friend of mine here in Keene, he told me that he ran off the road at one point, got stuck in some snow, and it's so cold, it was so cold out this particular night, he had to run his engine as hotter than idling to keep it going.
Huh.
Like, if he just let the engine idle
the cold would overcome the engine.
Right, the cold would overcome the engine.
Wow.
Or at least to the point where he wasn't getting any heat in the car. Like, you'd have to pump the gas in order to get heat coming into the car.
Wow.
I mean, that just, to me, is just, that is frightening stuff. So, really, they recommend, and I'm sure everybody up here, up north, knows this stuff. And I'm sure, hopefully, James Kim and his family had this, but it seems like common sense. Maybe a few people don't, but you got to have an emergency kit.
They had some minor provisions in the car.
Yeah, you got to have a sleeping bag, man. I mean, you got to have, if you're going to get stuck in the snow, having a sleeping bag that you can climb into together with somebody else is going to go a long way to keeping you alive longer, let alone, you know, also maybe a few granola bars or, you know, something like that that you can sort of sustain yourself on over time. It's just scary.
I try to be, you know, really fastidious about keeping my car clean. I'm going to have to put a survival pack in the trunk or something.
Absolutely.
Of course, you know, with my little convertible, it's not going to retain much heat anyway.
That's true. If you, if you've got a survival story for us, we'd love to hear from you. 800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free lines. As we go to the phones, to the fun, let's talk to Robert in California. You're on Free Talk Live with Ina Mark. Hello, Robert.
Hi, guys. I'm not sure if this is true, but I work in for a children's services place. I won't say which particular county, but
okay.
A friend of mine just came up, and we were talking about the Military Commission Act and a few other things, you know, that sort of affect our lives, you know, microwave radiation. But we were talking about the RFID chips, and she said that the plan is to actually implant them in the children as soon as they're born, right in their heads.
What? Now, wait, does she have credibility, or is she just a coworker at some place?
She's a coworker with Children's Services.
So, is this Children's Services plan? Whose plan?
I don't know if this is Children's Services, but this is something that she's heard.
Into their heads?
Right into their head, right when they were born.
I don't know if that sounds like the best place to insert something. Not that I'm a doctor or anything like that, but, I mean, wouldn't their hands
right
be a little
more
effective?
Right underneath the scalp. You know, I mean, who's going to notice if they do it, you know? People just think it's a birthmark and the hair grows over it and no problem.
Well, now, are they going to be asking for parents' permission before they do this?
Possibly. You know, who knows? I mean, they could probably ask for permission the first time and just make it sort of like traditional.
Well, I know that they still have
to... circumcision?
Well, is circumcision traditional these days? Is that
in hospitals? Mostly, yeah.
Really? Like when you go to have a baby and it's a boy, they just sort of put circumcision on the list of things to do?
They pretty much ask the parent, and then the parent usually follows along right with it.
Okay, well, I would agree
with that.
I'm under the impression that they still have to get consent from parents. Like, for instance, with the Social Security number, when you have a kid born in a hospital, yes, it's tradition to fill out the Social Security paperwork, but I guess there are still some parents that refuse to do so, and you can refuse to do so, as I understand it, so... Hopefully, there will be ways to just say no to the RFID chip. And, of course, it's not a surprise. There have been people who have been saying these things for a long, long time. And at this point, I don't think it's too crazy to suggest this, such a thing in this surveillance society that we have today. You know, of course, the message they're going to give parents is, well, if you put this chip in your kid, it'll be like your dog, you know. If you get lost or if they get taken by some kidnapper, we'll be able to pull them up on the satellite and we'll know right where they are.
Exactly, and that will be a selling point for a lot of people.
It's going to be very persuasive for parents. I mean, parents are very protective of their children. And just like circumcision, down the line, if I was 18 years old, and thanks for the call, Robert, if I was 18 years old and discovered that I had a chip in my head, I'd be awfully ticked off at my parents for allowing that to happen. More's on the way. You take control of the airwaves, toll-free, 800-259-9231. Well, apparently an entire city is apologizing to a rape victim, Mark. We'll find out how that works. It's Free Talk Live.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
Could you be the next high-tech millionaire? The inventor of Caller ID, the digital answering machine, and Picture-in-Picture has taken his newest, unique, cutting-edge inventions and removed them from corporate America, and is looking for people like you to market these products. Paul Zane Pilsen, the author of the book, The Next Millionaires, that predicted the dot-com and the boom of the wellness industry, has now said there will be 10 million millionaires created between 2006 and 2016 in the technology industry. Those that work from home distributing technology products will have the first shot at success. This company has a successful 23-year track record and needs people like you who want to earn a considerable extra sum of money each month. Check out our solid, reputable company and learn how you can tap into this trillion-dollar industry. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call today, 682-518-0096. That's 682-518-0096. Or visit the website 2006breakthrough.com. Again, that's 2006breakthrough.com.
I found this company online, and they have this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Now I have my own successful online business. It's already brought in over $175,000 for me.
I grossed over $321,000 and I was able to quit my 9-to-5.
You've heard all the buzz. Everyday people are putting the internet to work, making serious money from the comfort of their own homes with online auctions. So much money, so easily, they're actually quitting their jobs. And so can you, with a free CD from Internet Speedway. Yours absolutely free, just for calling. This free CD shows how easy it is to generate real wealth quickly, with online auctions at sites like the internet's largest marketplace, eBay. And you never have to see, store, or even pay for the products you're selling.
I did over $40,000 in sales last month, and I have my own business now. It's like a dream come true.
The strategies are simple. The money is real and the CD is free. Call 1-800-889-2994 now to get your free CD. Call 1-800-889-2994. 1-800-889-2994.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. Bring up anything toll-free, 800-259-9231, the Packet 8 toll-free line. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got updates. You get signed up, we'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Updates.freetalklive.com to get on the list. That's updates.freetalklive.com. Well, Mark, how can an entire city apologize to a rape victim? That's the headline of this story. Wisconsin City apologizes to blind rape victim who officials charged with lying. Isn't it amazing that an entire city, buildings, streets, trees, roads, they've all written a letter of apology to this woman?
Well, they're probably talking about the city government.
Apparently so. For years, police in Madison and Madison, Wisconsin city lawyers refused to believe a blind woman who said an intruder raped her at knife point. They even charged her with lying about it. Yes, that's right. The police are here to serve and protect you. When you go to them and claim that you've been raped, that somebody has violated your personal self, they're going to laugh at you and charge you with a crime. How about that stuff?
Well,
they're really doing their due diligence here, aren't they, Mark?
I don't know. I want to hear a little more about the facts.
Now, 5 years after DNA connected a sex offender to the attack, the city has apologized to the woman known as Patty and is offering her $35,000. Outraged by a book detailing her skeptical treatment by authorities, the city council approved the payment last month and ordered police to draw up new policies for interviewing crime victims. This is really groundbreaking, said Angela Rose, the Chicago-based National Director of Promoting Awareness, Victim Empowerment. I really applaud Patty's strength, powering through to make sure that she found justice, not only for her, but countless other victims that this is going to help. The council president, Austin King, called the case, quote, one of the most enormous, colossal failures the city has ever perpetrated. And, well, actually, it's one of the most enormous, colossal failures that we know that the city has ever perpetrated. Who knows who else they've been harassing and causing trouble for?
Well, it's the ones they've gotten. It's the one they've gotten caught for.
Yeah, exactly. The resolution gives Police Chief Noble Ray 90 days to recommend new techniques for interviewing of victims of sensitive crimes, including how to eliminate, quote, the use of lies, coercion, deception, ruses, and other techniques designed to break down individuals in all but the rarest of circumstances. Ray, who won a standing ovation when he publicly apologized to Patty in October, said he'll probably recommend increased videotaping of interrogations and more guidance for officers when they can use trickery. The resolution offers the city's, quote, most heartfelt apology to Patty and directs the city to pay her for legal fees as well as lost wages. Patty, at the time was 38 years old, woke up September 4th in 1997 with a man holding a knife to her throat.
It's been 10 years since this happened, and finally she got her apology?
Yep.
I see.
She's legally blind and was not able to identify him. She called police immediately, like a good little citizen, and went for a hospital exam. Again, something else that rape victims are supposed to do. A lot of rape victims don't actually go for the hospital exam, and then they don't have enough evidence to actually say yes or no against who did this.
Yeah, I mean, the hospital exams should be done as quickly as possible.
So she went into the hospital exam. Detectives doubted her after failing to find compelling evidence of an assault and learning that a man...
Meaning that there was no
tables knocked over or something like that?
Well, what about semen?
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I'm just wondering, was the condom used or something like that?
Not sure. A man that she named as a suspect who had an alibi, apparently. A new book by Bill Luters, editor of the Madison Weekly newspaper, recounts how two detectives used a ruse to pressure her into saying that she made up her story. Authorities then charged her with filing a false report, but dropped the charge when investigators found semen on her sheets. Lawyers hired to defend the city against Patty's lawsuit.
So they used a ruse to get her to admit that she was lying.
Right.
It's hard to imagine what one could say in order to get me to say that I'm the crime that I'm committing, that I'm reporting here, is
who knows.
Not something I did.
Cops can be very scary, and they are very good at telling half truths and lies. So I don't know exactly what happened, and we don't have Patty here to ask her.
A ruse certainly is a half-truth or a lie.
Lawyers hired to defend the city against Patty's lawsuit subjected her to 19 hours of depositions in which they asked her about her sexual history and mocked her for not trying to fight off the assailant, according to the book. She's blind. A judge dismissed the lawsuit. In 2001, the state crime lab discovered that DNA from Joseph Bong, a convicted sex offender, matched the semen. Bong was convicted of Patty's rape in 2004 and sentenced to 50 years in prison.
Whoa.
Quote, at every stage in this thing, there were opportunities for someone to say, something's wrong here. But no one ever did that. They defended their officer against the suggestion that he was in the wrong, and it became a really important cause for them to win this case. Gee, we've never seen this happen before, have we, Mark? Where an entire city government or police department or prosecutor's office stands behind the questionable police officer and acts as though he is the golden boy and that nothing he could possibly do is wrong, and the police are always innocent, the police are always honest. But yet here we go, harassing a blind woman into claiming that she never actually was raped when in fact she was indeed. And it's just outrageous what these people are doing.
Well, the problem is that the people that are slated to investigate the police in these circumstances are the police also. The city is in charge of investigating the city.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the city? I mean, the city is going to be liable if the city finds out that it's done something wrong.
Sure.
So what's the city going to find out?
It has no interest in finding those things out.
It has none.
City
and
council.
It took 10 years to find it out, and God knows how many dollars and how many lawsuits for this one to finally get justice.
Listen to this guy. City Councilman Zach Brandon said the book convinced him an apology was necessary. Quote, it was a tough read because you realize what she went through, and you asked yourself, how did we not catch that? Well, duh, Brandon. You are a bureaucracy. It's not a shock that you missed something. That a few facts flew by you? That your police department isn't exactly Johnny on the spot when it comes to being accurate or honest? This is typical of bureaucracies. You miss things all the time because you just don't even have your eyes open. And even if you did have your eyes open, you'd still miss them because you're too flippin' lazy to get off your butt, put down the box of donuts, and do something about it. Now, I'd like to see the rape victims have their crimes investigated with some sort of seriousness that maybe they're telling the truth.
It's tragic, but
I mean, isn't it? I guess it's easier for the police to not investigate the rape than to actually have to go through, you know, filling out paperwork and tapping people's phone lines or whatever. However it is you investigate a rape, I'm not sure how that goes.
You know, the adversarial legal system that we have is good enough for the citizens, but it doesn't seem to be good enough for the people that work for the government. Obviously, the police aren't on your side when they're investigating stuff, but apparently the police are on the, when the police investigate the police, it's not a lot of evidence that they're going to come up with, not a lot of motivation for them to come up with some evidence.
Right. And you know what? I mean, they're just not motivated to do anything, period, because they don't have to get results. What's it matter if the police solve a crime or not? Sure, they like to solve a crime from time to time. That way they can point to it and say, look, citizens, here we are protecting you. We're so wonderful. We are the police. But I'm sure this woman didn't feel that way for 9 years of her life. And how many other people didn't have, maybe they got robbed or held at gunpoint or had their stuff stolen from their house. All kinds of other crimes go by without being solved by the police. They're not as, emotionally charged, per se, as rape is. It's hard to get more emotionally charged than rape, except for maybe murder. And so they don't get, a news company may not be necessarily interested in following the story. Oh, you got your bike stolen from you? Oh, okay. That's not a really persuasive top-of-the-news-style story. Not something you're going to be able to write a book about, as this lady did. So these people just kind of get sidelined and, the police come and fill out a report, and that's the last you see from them. Why should they care about recovering your bicycle?
Yeah, I mean, what difference does it make to them?
Right.
The police chief
is appointed.
When I was 15, I had my motor scooter stolen, and the cops came after a couple of hours and took a report and
You get your scooter back?
I got my scooter back, but my dad drove around the next day or the day after in the neighborhood, just in the neighborhood there, and he found it.
Well, that's some really tough detective work. Dad found it and the cops weren't. What were they up to? Donuts. 800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
It's America's number one selling brain support supplement, Focus Factor, and you can try it free. Focus Factor supports your memory, focus, and concentration with nutrients that support healthy brain function. And we've got a free bottle just for you, a $75 value. You simply provide $4.95 for shipping and handling, limit one per household. Call 1-800-407-6231. 1-800-407-6231. Come on, it's free Focus Factor. 1-800-407-6231.
Looking for profits? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low-mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free, 800-259-9231. The Packet 8 toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. You like the show? You want to help Free Talk Live out? Well, vote for us. It only takes a moment of your time, and it makes a big difference. Go to vote.freetalklive.com to cast your vote, and you, like a few hundred of our listeners, will help propel us as high as we can possibly go in the podcast rankings. We're currently number 4 out of something like 25,000-plus podcasts. So that's pretty good. But we finished last month at number 3, so we know we can do better. In fact, we've been as high as number 1. So with your vote, we can get up there. Of course, the higher we are on the chart, the more likely somebody new is to come along and listen to the show. And that means more new people coming across the message of freedom and liberty. That's a good thing.
Very good thing.
Vote. freetalklive.com. It's once a month, very easy. Vote.freetalklive.com. To the phones, to Jay in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Jay.
Good evening.
Great. What's on your mind?
I was listening to a podcast just this afternoon, and Ian, I heard you mention that you are a big fan of the Amish.
In comparison to other religions, I find that the Amish are very, very respectful as far as not shoving their religion down one's throat. I like them for that.
I agree 100%, and I'm going to tell you one more thing that you're going to love about them. And,
cooking?
The cooking. I grew up in Pennsylvania Dutch country, and I've got Amish heritage. So I agree with the cooking. But, there's one thing about the Amish that you might want to convert and become Amish yourself.
Is that right?
That Amish do not pay taxes.
Really?
They pay no tax.
They pay no tax?
Well, I'm sorry?
They pay no tax?
No, they do not pay tax.
How do they get away with that?
Well, they do not use the state roads.
They use
the state roads, but they do not necessarily need the state roads. They could function without them.
Uh-huh.
They do not use the state schools. They do not use any state services. They do not use any of the infrastructure. They are self-sustaining society.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, when you say the Amish, you mean, you're not talking about Mennonites, you're talking about the Amish. Now, the Amish are the most religious of
Correct.
The Amish/Mennonites. The Mennonites are the more sort of modernized Amish people. Now,
I can't tell you about the Mennonites. I'm not sure where they stand, because I know that they have assimilated more into modern culture But
when you
talk
about the Amish, you mean the ones living in Pennsylvania and Ohio, out in the middle
correct.
Of nowhere, those Amish?
Correct.
Because we come from Sarasota, Florida, and there's a large Amish/Mennonite community. I'm pretty sure there's some Amish people there, right, Mark?
Yeah. They come down and they ride rollers, and you know, they have their roller skates and bicycles. So yeah.
Right. So there's a large community down there, and they live right in the heart of Sarasota, or fairly close to it, at least. And a lot of them run businesses. Now, maybe those are the Mennonites. But a lot of them run businesses, and a lot of them are out there, and if they've got property, then are they just not paying property taxes?
They pay no taxes. They do have income. They here in our area, the Amish have a lot of businesses where they'll sell furniture mm-hmm. to the public. They will sell different crafts and foods.
Right.
There's a ton of Amish construction workers that... they've got Amish construction crews.
Right. You know, down in Sarasota, the construction there is great because, especially in the 70s and 60s, because, well, it was pretty much the Amish would come down for the winter and work there.
Huh.
Nobody builds a house like an Amish framing crew. They do great work. So,
they do.
But they do not pay taxes.
What about the ones that sell the furniture? They don't collect sales tax?
I can't tell you about sales tax. All I'm speaking of is income tax and property tax and the direct taxes. Indirect taxes such as, you know, obviously if...
How is it that you learned all this about them?
You know, I'd have to say that you know, there's different varying degrees of Amish, Mennonite, and how thoroughly they're in the, mm-hmm. you know, the Anabaptist church that they happen to be a part of. There's these Hutterites... And Brethren and these other groups, and it depends on how thoroughly they are in the community as to how many taxes they would pay, I would guess.
It's a big issue not a big issue anymore. I guess at one point it was a big issue here in Pennsylvania. I live near the state capital in Harrisburg, which is right outside of Lancaster. Mm-hmm. I happen to know the former senator from Lancaster County and people that have worked on his staff without going too deep into the relationship
sure.
there, and there were a lot of conversations of constituents calling in and complaining about the Amish tearing up the roads with their horse and buggies, but they don't pay any taxes. People complain about the Amish and why do they not pay taxes and I have to?
Something else I like about the Amish, and I appreciate the information, and something else I like about them is that they stick together. Like, if an Amish person was to be brought up on charges for not paying taxes, I get the feeling that a lot of the other Amish in the community would rally behind him. I mean, I get the feeling that the Amish
absolutely.
Are the kind of people that would have pitchforks and torches
no,
outside. No?
No, Amish are very peaceful.
They're peaceful people, but don't mess with the Amish.
Yeah, but what
will,
happens
they
when...
Will, they will
right.
protect each other.
Right, what happens when you're threatening one of them's, you know, when you're threatening their livelihood by throwing them in the clink? Don't you think they would get active then, or would they just sit back and say, oh, well, can't do anything?
I think they would probably turn, and this is, I can't say for sure because I'm not Amish, but I would think they would try to turn a peaceful protest. You know, maybe they would, I don't think they would resort to violence.
I didn't say violence, I said pitchforks and torches.
Well,
that's
yeah,
peaceful.
I agree.
Until you skewer somebody with one, or light someone on fire, which I didn't suggest they would do for one moment. So,
well, that's what I can tell you about the Amish. I think
interesting.
That we should all take a little bit of lesson from them and figure out how they're not paying taxes and how they're able to support themselves without this government that we've got looming over us and
able to not go to jail for it is what I'm most amazed
yeah.
by.
Do some research. I'll do some research and send you some information via email. And if you want to look more into it, you know, certainly feel free.
Thanks for the info, Jay. We appreciate it. Have a great night. 800-259-9231. Just one more thing to like about those guys. 800-259-9231. Let's go to the Gallup polling organization. Mark, you've got some information about who knows what libertarian is, what the word means. Are people in America familiar with the concept? I don't think they are.
They're not, really. From the Gallup News Service, a recent Gallup panel, this whole set of numbers is so confusing
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to cherry-pick numbers
okay.
out of it, okay? A recent Gallup panel survey explored Americans' familiarity with and orientation to six different terms that describe Americans' political viewpoints. Conservative, liberal, libertarian, moderate, populist, and progressive. Americans are most familiar with terms conservative, liberal, moderate, and are relatively unfamiliar with the terms progressive, libertarian, and populist.
Mm-hmm.
Many Americans who choose one of the basic labels, conservative, moderate, or liberal, to describe their ideology, also choose another label when given a chance. This is particularly the case for those who describe their views as moderate. A majority of Americans say that the terms conservative and moderate apply to them personally. 34%. Like, if you had to describe yourself as a conservative, moderate, or liberal, what would you describe yourself as?
None of the above.
Right. Well, that's it's not one of the choices, though. I mean,
I don't care.
Moderate's sort of one of those. But do you understand how a libertarian might get stuck, shoved into the term moderate?
Sure.
So, anyway, moderates might describe themselves as something beyond that. 34% of Americans say the term liberal applies to them, while 28% say progressive applies. So there's...
Which 6%. Is essentially the same thing. Progressive
to my mind,
is the new terminology for liberal.
No more than 1 in 10 Americans say the terms libertarian or populist applies to them. Roughly equal percentages of Americans, about 1 in 5, describe their own political views as liberal or progressive. These respondents show a slight preference for calling themselves a liberal over progressive, though most say it really doesn't matter. So it basically goes on, and man, it's just a dizzying amount of numbers that you can...
Give me the numbers on who understands what libertarianism is.
Okay. Familiarity with political terminology. Very familiar with libertarian, 20%. Somewhat familiar with libertarian, 36%.
So wrong. It's so wrong. I don't think that... I mean, I don't know what their methodology is. I don't know if they go into it here. But as somebody who has done outreach to the public, as somebody who has asked people in person, are they aware of what libertarianism is, I can say that these numbers are very inaccurate. I have a feeling that they just sort of threw out a term and asked people if they were familiar with
yes.
it. Did they define the term? Did they actually find out what the person's belief was
they
about that term?
No,
because
they did
if
not.
You don't, because you can say to somebody, and I've done this before, you can say to somebody, you come up to me at the Operation Politically Homeless booth that I'm running, and you take the quiz, and you score libertarian, and I say, congratulations, did you know you were a libertarian? And you might say...
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Well,
say yes or no?
It doesn't matter. Either way, I usually will ask, well, do you know what libertarianism's all about?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about what it is, what it's all about? And then the silence comes.
Well,
people do not understand, and they don't know. They may have heard the term, and that might be what this is actually more accurate about, is who's heard the term before. But some of these people that are saying they understand what libertarianism is probably think it means liberal.
Yeah.
What's on the way? You take control of the airwaves. Free Talk Live.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now for just $3 a month... You can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies a day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Times